Judges chapter 5 tonight. We've gone through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Joshua. We're in Judges chapter 5, making our way through. Doing the fifth chapter tonight, and this is the after Deborah, who was a prophetess, a judge, a wife, a mother. The lady is a general. She was the Renaissance woman. She did a lot of things. After she got involved in this delivering Israel from the kings that be, and Barak, of course, leading the military, they both wrote a song in Judges chapter 5, and I'm calling this it could be called a sacred duet, but I call it a duet of praise and thanksgiving. They jointly collaborate to write a great song for the people of the Lord to sing in light of the victory they experienced in battle. So that's the sum total of Judges chapter 5. It's a beautiful song of worship and praise. I'll read to you the first 13 verses. Then we're told in verse 1, sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel. When the people willingly offered themselves, or the people rallied for duty, hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes, I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. The clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways or through back roads. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They were deserted. They ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose, and that I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates? Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak ye that ride on white asses or donkeys, we that sit in judgment and walk by the way. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake! Awake, Deborah! Awake! Awake! Utter a song! Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. Then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your kindness. Wherever we go, there's something that would be a blessing to our soul, and as your word is inspired, is inerrant, is given to us to build us up in our holy faith and to draw the lost to you, we pray that you'll help us tonight as we spend a moment in Judges 5. Open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts, Lord, to your goodness here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So following the victory of Deborah and Barak, they wrote a song and broke out into joyous singing before the Lord. You know, Christianity, of all faiths on earth, Christianity is a singing faith. I would suspect that, generally speaking, probably 30-40% of all the services that we have here, whether it be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, 30-40% of all of those services are dedicated to us corporately singing the good name of the Lord. Psalm 150 verse 6 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Praise. You say, when should I praise? Pray when you're certain. Pray when you're in doubt. Pray when you know the answer. Pray when you don't know the answer. Pray when you're surrounded by friends. Pray when you're surrounded by enemies. Praise the Lord night and day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and 365 days a year. Praise the Lord as long as you live. Our hearts, our tongues should be regulated to praise the Lord. That's what Deborah and Barak do here. They're teaching us how to live a good and godly life and what it looks like. And it looks like believers in the Old Testament and believers in the New Testament and believers today and believers in heaven are a singing people. And this beautiful duet is given to us in Judges chapter 5. Ephesians, Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 5:19, "Speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." There are some things a pastor can do, only can do, just the way it is. It's the dynamic of it. There's certain things that happen in a Bible study hour where you can raise your hand and ask questions. There's certain things that happen when a guy goes into the pulpit, just the way it is. But there are certain things that I cannot do for you, but we all do it together. And someone showed me a sign tonight that says, I think the sign was reserved for pastor. And then it says, "If you park here, you're preaching." I think that's the way the sign read. And I thought, well, that's a pretty interesting sign. But actually, when we sing together, we are all preaching. We are all parked in the pastor's spot. We are all opening up about the garden that Jesus is waiting for us to come in prayer. We're all singing about the blood that stained the old rugged cross. We're all declaring the message of the cross. We're all declaring the message of the blood. We're all declaring what was accomplished on the cross. It's not just me up here speaking. We're all speaking it. And when corporately the church gets together to sing, there will typically be lost people in the service that are intrigued by what you are saying and intrigued that you're all saying it together with one voice, and intrigued by the message that you're giving, and intrigued by the attitude that you have when you sing that. We're all, in a sense, praying when we sing. I think the case could be made that we are all preaching when we sing. And this duet is given to us in Judges chapter 5 to declare the good things of the Lord. I love a singing church. I've been moved by preaching in my life. Don't get me wrong. There have been messages that have lasted 2 or 3 hours that I wish they would never end, that have just had me gripped in my heart and sitting forward on my seat. But some of the most moving scenes I've ever experienced in worship is when you get a group that loves to sing and they start singing and you're in the middle of it. And it is heaven comes down and glory fills my soul. Well, in Judges chapter 5, you have a moment like that when Deborah and Barak, they go through the nuts and bolts of this battle in chapter 4, but it breaks out into song in chapter 5. I want us to see they have a message here, very brief, very quickly. I want you to see a message about the Lord. That's how she starts. She starts bragging on the Lord. You got to brag on the Lord. Give Him all the glory. And she does that. Her and Barak do that. early on in 2 and then 3 through 8. Then I want us to see something about the Lord beyond that. The lion-hearted is what I'm calling them. Those people who are told, hey, this is what we think. The Lord has told us to go up against this enemy and he's going to give us the victory. They could have cut and run. But there were some of those tribes that joined in the ranks. I'm calling them beyond the Lord, the lion-hearted. They joined Deborah and Barak and the victory was theirs when they did that. And then lastly, Barak and Deborah write their song, they do this tribute not just to the Lord and not just to the lion-hearted, they do it to the leaders. Those leaders that lead these tribes. You came out on your white donkeys and you led your people into battle, the leaders, and just a tribute to the people in the pew, a tribute to the guy in the pulpit, a tribute to the Lord. It's all here in Judges chapter 5. First, let's look at, and I'm saying, thank the Lord, and thank the lion-hearted, and thank the leaders tonight. First, thank the Lord in 2a. You see it. Praise ye the Lord, he says, for the avenging of Israel. We'll stop right there and read verse 3. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praises to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, you went out of Seir. Lord, you rent the heavens. Lord, you caused the earth to shake. Lord, you caused the mountains to melt in our presence. Lord, it's as though a flood came. They parked it in this open valley. The enemy had the advantage, as we remember in chapter 4. They had, in that day, tanks. The equivalent of a tank. They had iron chariots pulled by two horses that would be occupied by two or three soldiers. They went into this open plain. It was suicidal by what they would call a river, which was normally, you look at it, and it was just a creek. Apparently, the Lord sent a great thunderstorm when this valley operation began. The river rose, the chariots got stuck, the people were scattered, victory was theirs. And she gives credit to the Lord for opening the heavens. She gives credit to the Lord for melting the mountains. She gives credit to the Lord for sending down a torrential rain on that day of that battle. Do you know praising the Lord should be front and center in our heart, something that we do routinely? Whether you're going through what may be the departure of a father-in-law, and he's a Christian, 100% solid believer, just to praise the Lord that I met him at age 18, married my wife at age 20, and for over 45 years, he has been a dynamic believer in my life. You say, well, it's tears time. And yes, we do sorrow if he does depart this life. But it is a time to praise the Lord for someone who started well, for someone who finished well, for someone who's going beyond this world into eternal life with confidence, full of faith, dying in the faith. Praise the Lord. Psalm 138:5 says, yes, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Daniel 2:20, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Psalm 107 verse 8, oh that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And even creation sings the praises of the Lord. Jesus on Palm Sunday entered into on his white donkey. There was a white donkey here in Judges 5. Leaders do that. Don't come in on stallions, come in on these donkeys. Jesus comes in on this donkey, and the people are laying down palm branches. People are singing, you know, Hosanna to the Son of David, glory to God in the highest. They're just coming unglued. And the religious leaders said, you need to tell them to hush. You need to tell them to be silent. And Jesus says, if I tell them to hush and to be silent, he says, the very rocks of the earth will cry out for the glory of the Lord. Luke 19:40 says, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones, he says in Luke 19:40, the stones which are dead stones, inanimate objects, they will suddenly become animate and they will cry out for the glory of the Lord. So praising the Lord is part of our DNA. Praising the Lord is Christianity 101. Find reason to praise the Lord. You say, God hasn't done anything. If you knew my lot in life, you would not have anything to praise the Lord for. It is my opinion that God does 10,000 things for us every single day, and that is a modest estimate. If we would praise Him for one or two of those things, we have an abundant number of things to praise the Lord. So Deborah and Barak collaborate. They write this beautiful duet in Judges chapter 5. Verse number 1, praise the Lord for all that He has done. What a great opening that is for sure. Not only thanking the Lord, thanking what I'm calling, and I stayed with L's for all of these, thanking the lion-hearted, those people that could have sat out there and say, thanks, no thanks, thanks, I'm out of here. I think I need to go home and bury someone tonight. I think I've got a new wife. I've got a piece of land that I need to go check out. No, they all rushed into the battle along with Deborah and Barak. That's in 2b, she says, when the people, in verse 2, at the end of it, willingly offered themselves, or willingly volunteered for duty, or willingly risked their lives, jeopardized their lives for us. The people did that in Judges chapter 5. And if you read, I think it's verse number 18, which I didn't read earlier, but I'll read it now. It says, Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeopardized their lives unto the death in the high places of the dead. And so the people, it's one thing to have leaders. It's another thing to have followers. That's a whole different subject, but just as precious of a subject. Deborah and Barak could not win this war by just the two of them. There had to be people that followed them to go into this battle. And we are told the people willingly offered themselves and rallied behind them. Leadership is not for the faint of heart. Leadership is rough. There are a lot of people that will sit out there and listen to the pastor or listen to anyone leading. Maybe it's your supervisor at work or your boss or your CEO, whatever, and just start second guessing. Just born to second guess, born to complain, born to think they're brighter and better than everything. Leadership is not easy, and following is a gift from God. In fact, I would say this whole chapter is a song. Let me just back up for a second and say something about music. As rich as the gospel is, and I believe in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is gift number one to the people of God, a Savior and a gospel, a resurrected Savior. I think the second best gift God has given His people is music, sacred music that we sing for His glory. There are people who are born, they'll sit in the peanut gallery and they'll talk ill of the leaders, and they'll throw their peanuts and their popcorn and boo-hoo and nay-nay, everything that they have to say. They'll want to usurp leaders. They'll want to backbite the leaders. They'll want to backstab the leaders. They'll want to... Look, if you're pastor, and I say this, I'm the pastor, but I want you to treat any pastor you would ever have. I will not be your pastor forever. I hope to be your pastor for a good long time, but I won't be here forever. Every church should, if that guy is not having an affair on his wife, if that guy is not murdering, if that guy is not showing up drunk in the streets, do your dead level best to support him in what he is doing. Pray for him and help him as best you can. He's trying to lead. He's trying to offer his best, put his life on the line, sacrifice his time, talent, and treasure to do whatever he's doing. And I say that being the pastor, but I tell you how precious it is to have these lion-hearted souls who will come behind and say, if you're going, I'm going. And let's do this for the good of others and for the glory of God. As great, and if someone were to say, what is the great need of the church? I would say, I think it's probably leadership. Beyond that, it's discernment of the people to have a biblically rich, a biblical worldview. We sit and watch Dancing with the Stars, and we sit and watch, you know, all kinds of things that spin and guess, you know, fill in the blanks. And all. We need to have a biblically rich pew as well as a pulpit and people that love the Lord. Deborah and Barak could not win the battle by themselves. And so rather than be jealous, oh, I'm jealous of your leader, or rather than second guess, or rather than backbite, or rather than think they know better or naysay and put a spoke in the wheels, they followed their leadership as they were led by the Lord for the good of others and for the glory of God. The nation risked its life. One thing that impressed me about Israel, he said, what site did you think was the coolest site you saw when you were in Israel? I went because you sent Marilyn and I to Israel. And I would say one of the greatest things I saw when I was in Israel were the young people carrying weapons and running through the streets. These young people are willing to risk their lives for the sake of that nation. And doing a good job of that. It is completely impressive if you ever go to Israel. You have to say, I love the Garden of Gethsemane. You have to say, I love the Southern Steps. You have to say, I love the Wailing Wall. I love the empty tomb. I love to see those young people suited up, ready to go, following their leadership is a great sight. And so in Judges 5, the nation says, if you're going to war, we're going to war. And here we go. And so they risked their lives under the leadership of Deborah and Barak. And the nation, they didn't take that lightly. Deborah and Barak dedicated a large portion of their song to the Lionhearted and said, thank you. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lionhearted for all that they did on the day of battle. Finally, thank the leaders. 9 through 13 is where I read that. He says, my heart is toward the governors of Israel. Now, who would that be? The leadership of each tribe. Each tribe would have someone signally set apart and say, I'm leading Judah. I'm leading Naphtali. I'm leading Zebulun. I'm leading Reuben. I'm leading Levi. On and on. They thanked the governors. In verse number 9, my heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless you, the Lord. They didn't say, you go, we follow. They were not political generals. They were fighting generals. I love a general. I'm not so fond of generals that are political empty suits and always put their finger in the wind and say, oh, it's blowing this way, I'd better go that way. Oh, it's blowing that way, I'd better go that way. I love a general who will put the marks under his eyes and is a fighting general. They said in this text, you generals, you led the way. You generals, you were among the people. They used to talk about Stonewall Jackson. How can you stand out there on your, you know, sit on your horse or stand on the battlefield and you stand there like a stone wall? He was a Presbyterian and he would say, I am as safe on the battlefield as I am in my own bed. And the Lord is going to look after me for as long as he sees fit to do that. But their last verse, first verse, thank the Lord. Second verse, thank the Lionhearted. Third verse, thank the leaders. They thank the governors of Israel in 9. They came in riding on white donkeys in verse 10. They rehearsed the righteous acts of the Lord. They were spiritually minded people who led the nation of Israel into battle. In verse 11, they called out, awake, Deborah. They knew their place. They knew their position. They knew their position on the battlefield. They were not going to usurp Deborah and Barak. They said, awake, Deborah, awake. And they said that in a series twice. The great need in every generation, whether it's in the pulpit or in the pew or out on the street as a plumber, the great need of every nation are people who know what they're doing, who had the courage to do that. The thinkers, the orators, the artists, the authors, the builders, the musicians, the inventors, the scientists, the politicians, the pastors. You need people with clay in their mold who are very talented at what they're doing. The great need of our nation today, the great pillaging of our nation have been people who don't know the Lord and who don't walk with Him. I would never suggest that the remedy to America's ills rides in Air Force One, but I will say this, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and we're praying tomorrow that God would help us as a nation, and we give thanks for the current administration. Is Trump the answer? Christ is the answer, I'll tell you that for sure. Is Air Force One the answer? Heaven is the answer, but the Lord uses musicians. He uses scientists. We suffered under COVID because people just didn't understand plain science. We're in a place where people can't define what a man or a woman is. There's gender dysphoria going on. You need people with courage who are good scientists and good musicians, good artists, good architects, good engineers, good plumbers, good moms, good dads, good granddads, good husbands, good wives. The leaders are blessed here in that final verse. You say, well, I don't have much talent. I mean, if I were to say on a scale of 1 to 10, how much talent do I have? You might say, I only have one talent. I would say use your one talent for the good of others and for the glory of God. Do all you can, as long as you can, for the good of others until God calls, He either comes for you or He calls you home, and use our gifts for others. John Maxwell said the leader's attitude is like a thermostat for the ones who follow. If the leader's attitude is good, the atmosphere is pleasant. The environment is easy to work in. Everything rises and falls with leadership. And in that third verse of their song, they praise the Lord, they praise the lion-hearted, and then they praise those leaders of those various tribes. You know, as a people, we have a connection, a deep emotional, spiritual connection with the Lord, a deep emotional, spiritual connection with one another, the lion-hearted, and a deep and emotional, spiritual connection with our leaders. And you see all three of those pointed out in Judges chapter 5. And I would say, God, bless the Lord, bless the lion-hearted, bless the leaders. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you tonight thinking there may be someone who needs Christ tonight. If they could come even tonight, He really is the answer, the final, the ultimate answer. May they come to a saving knowledge of Christ tonight. Lord, we've prayed in small groups. There may be someone that needs to come tonight to just have pastor pray with them and for them. That's not unusual for a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. If anyone, Lord, needs prayer, may they feel the liberty to come and ask for it this evening. Lord, we've had several join our church. We prayed for four brand new members tonight. And there may be someone here tonight that needs a church home. And I ask, Lord, that you'll continue to add to the church such as should be saved, such as are saved. And Lord, that you would, your Spirit would show Himself strong in our midst. Now speak to our hearts as we sing our closing song. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.